Hey, what's up, everyone? Today is June 28th, 2024, and I am here on the Dot Daddy podcast with H the Technician. What's up, H?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. So you are, I guess, 2 or 3 hours behind me. You're out in Utah?
I'm 2 hours behind you. 1 o'clock here, 3 o'clock your time.
Yeah. So first thing I want to ask, because I texted you about this, what does H stand for? You said it's different in Spanish versus English.
Yeah, so I took over H because my name is Uber, right? Uh-huh. And every time I would introduce myself with my name, they'd be like, what? How do you say this? Ever since I was little, and it went into Huber. And I don't like Huber because that's not my damn name, right? So eventually, I just said, H is going to work. And I've been rocking with H for so long. When I got into the S&P industry, I wanted to figure out what my S&P name was going to be. And it H Technician clicked and we was good. And I've been rocking with that ever since.
Yeah. I love that name. I love H the Technician, and I get it. Cause to me, a white guy looks like Huber, right? Yeah. I went to school with a kid. It was spelled J-A-I-M-E or J-A-M-I-E. And everyone says, hey, Jamie, and he's like, it's Hame, you know, all the time he would say it's Hame.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just, I struggled with it through school, and I was just like, I'm sick of my damn name. You know, that's why I didn't name my last kid my name. Cause I didn't want him to go through the struggle. You know, so it's been H forever. And then again, once we started S&P, I became H the Technician.
I love it. Yes. So where did you grow up, H?
So I grew up here in Salt Lake City. Ever since I was 8 years old, I was born back in Mexico, but they brought us back here since we was kids. So I'm pretty much from here, you know.
You're Mexican?
I am. I'm full Mexican.
And you got a full beard.
Like you almost. I don't know how you letting it grow that long, because it's tough. But every once in a while, I have to take it all the way down and then just reset, you know.
Yeah, I don't see too many Mexicans with full beards like that. So good for you.
No S&P either. It's just awful.
Good for you. Yeah. And what was it like? Do you remember being in Mexico?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. It was beautiful. It was, I'd say, 5 to 8 years old. And I'm living a 10 to 13-year-old's life because it's open like that out there. You know, it's not the same. Again, I'm almost 40 years old, so I lived back in the day too, where things were different versus now. Childhood was a lot different, you know?
So you were doing some crazy shit?
Not crazy shit, but just shit that normal kids don't do.
Yeah.
You know, normal 5, 6, 7 year olds don't do. I'm out and about playing soccer at 10 at night with the older kids. It's just things that you do out there in the neighborhood, you know?
Yeah. So what was the reason you guys came over? Did your mom or dad get a job, or what happened?
Nah, I had family out here, and we were the last ones back home. And my mom just said, I want a better life for my son and my brother. And we just took off and came here, came directly to Salt Lake City. And we never left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Salt Lake looks really nice. I mean, when I was talking to Jova, like we were talking earlier, I mean, I did a little research. It looks like a really nice city. And there's a big, is that where there's a big Mormon population too?
There is, but it's changed over the last few years. This was basically, you'd say you're from Utah and they're like, are you Mormon? Or you guys can't do shit out there. Or it's really strict, right? It's changed again. This is like the next California lifestyle that we're living here. Because there's so much minority, different races, and it's no longer just Mormon people, you know? There's everything here.
Okay.
Which is cool, which is really cool, which I like a lot.
Hey, that's potential for more bald people for you, right?
All day.
So, so you came over from Mexico, now you're in Salt Lake City. What was the transition like? I'm sure you had to learn English.
It was tough. I mean, you got to think about it. I'm about 8, 9 years old, and I come into, I want to say, third grade, and I know no English. I had one friend at the time who translated everything for me, you know. But when you're a kid, you learn that real quick. The only shitty part about everything with the transition is at the time I'm starting to learn proper Spanish, right, as you're growing into an older kid. So I leave that to come and learn a new language. And now I'm stuck in between both. Even today, I'm 40 years old, I told you, and my languages on both ends aren't perfect. They're not like great. They're just like half-assed half the time, you know. In Spanish, I can't talk to somebody really professional because I don't know a lot of these words, but I could get through them like more street talk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It kind of fucked me up when it comes to language, but I get through it.
Okay. And so did you finish out? So you finished out high school in Salt Lake City in that area in the Utah. And so what was it like for you growing up there? Were you a good kid? Were you a bad kid?
Well, in fact, I didn't even finish high school.
Okay.
And a part of it was because of my language struggle that I had with it, right? In junior high, I just didn't understand a lot of the words. I didn't understand reading, spelling. And my brain was a little different. I'm the type of person that likes to do the things and learn that way versus getting taught and just listening. So I had a hard time ever since I was a little kid. So at ninth grade, when I went into high school, my first month, I was like, damn, I could slough and I don't get in trouble, basically. I took that and ran with it and I dropped out, you know.
You seem to be pretty successful for dropping out. So what did you end up doing when you drop out?
Honestly, man, I just wanted to live this street lifestyle and this fake life that always shined in front of me. And I wanted to chase that because that's kind of what I grew up around, right? But that's really, I went for the fast life.
Okay. So did you get involved in like drugs and shit like that?
Never a drug addict. Always just wanted to be the man. I wanted to be out there shining. I like females. I wanted to be a part of the whole scene. And that's really, I got caught up in that lifestyle for so long.
And what changed? I mean, what did a major event happen? Did you get in trouble? What made you kind of turn it around?
To be honest, SMP changed. As soon as I started doing SMP and taking something serious, everything else started coming along with it. At the time, I was going through a little bit of a chaos with my two current kids, my oldest kids, and we were going with a battle back and forth, and I needed to tighten up things, and I needed to be serious about my life, right? I mean, I'm about 34 years old at the time, and I still really ain't taking life serious, so I just said, I'm blessed to make it this far. I'm not in prison. I'm not in debt. I'm not dead. So it's time to really start focusing on something. That's why I took on SMP, because I seen SMP because I wanted it for myself. But then I seen some training and I said to myself, damn, this could be it. You know, and I took off and ran with it.
Wow. Wow. So you 34 years old, you know, you're not dead. You're not in jail. You realize you really need to make a change. And so you're saying SMP really, you know, you get it done and then you decide you also want to get training. Is that kind of how?
Actually, I was looking to get it done for myself, but in Utah, there was nobody. And as I did some research, I seen a website that said training. And my whole life, I've been lining up people like my friends, my brother, my cousins, right? And I always knew what a hairline supposed to look like. So this just made sense for me. Also, at the time, nobody's really doing no hard edge ups. So in my head, I'm like, I will kill everything by doing hard edge ups. People are spraying stuff on them, right? So I came into the game wanting to be the hard edge of king type style. But today is a lot different, you know, with the hard edge ups for me. So it's crazy just how it works.
So were you like doing your own? So you're saying you're lining people up. So you're saying you were basically barbering. Were you self-taught?
Partially. So I always did lineups, cut my friends' hair at home, right? Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
And I started doing SMP. Obviously, you know, it takes some time to get going. I had a good friend of mine who was a barber, and he wanted to learn SMP. So we kind of teamed up a little bit. And he apprenticed me as a barber because we didn't have no clients. So I needed to make some type of money. I watched him cut hair. And then he showed me and I started cutting hair, but I quit like probably a year later just because I got busy with SMP and just, it doesn't make sense to cut hair when you're doing SMP, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. So you mentioned your kids, how many kids do you have?
So total six kids.
Six kids.
My oldest 22 years old and my youngest is 11 months.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
I'm also a grandpa. So you know.
Stop playing.
Yeah, I got a little 4-year-old grandson, so it's like that.
Hey, my mom had me when she was 16. I get it. I get it.
I had her at 16 as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's rough. So you got a lot of moving parts going over there. So, but before offline, we were talking. So you currently have a wife, or you have a long-term girlfriend?
I do have a wife. Yes. I've been married almost 2 years.
Okay. Nice. And so
I have a girlfriend, wife, as long as I've been doing SMP. She was a part of my journey, and she was like my backbone the whole time. So shout out to her.
With all the kids, is it chaotic? Like, do they all come over, or do they kind of have a beef? Because I'm assuming they probably have a different mom. One of them has a different mom.
We've been under the same roof the whole time, except for my oldest daughter. And I mean, it's chaos. It's chaos. But, you know, as the years go by, I'm trying to learn how to be more patient with it. How to be a better dad, right? Rather than just screaming and being mad and grumpy all the time, I'm trying to learn. Even like up until today, I'm still trying to learn how to be a better person for them and how to make them understand the right way and why things are the way that they are, versus me just being mad at them all the time and just grounding them and shit like that. You know, I don't want to be that guy.
I completely understand. I mean, I got two kids. My son's 3.5. My daughter's only 9 months. But, you know, I'm learning as I go. And one of the biggest things for me is trying to be patient. You know, my son he's really hyper. I was a hyper kid. So he's running around. He's always, he doesn't sit still. And so I was also a kid that I would always ask why, like, why do we got to do this? Why this? Why? So one of the things I've been trying to do is just take the time to explain why, like, don't touch the socket because you're going to get electrocuted. Not because I said so, because I used to get that answer, because I said so, you know. But I'm hoping that if I explain it more to my son and I'm patient instead of kind of getting frustrated and yelling, that it will work, but we'll see. But I know what you mean. Testing my patience on a daily basis.
Yeah. And you got to think about it. So I have obviously my 11-month-old, and then we have a six-year-old daughter. And then I have 2 11-year-olds, right? My wife.
Are they twins?
No, but my wife's son has an 11-year-old, and then my son, 11-year-old. And I will never call them stepkids or none of that, because to me, they're my kids, right? So I never like to say that. So every time I say 2 11-year-olds, they're like, twins? I'm like, no, but damn near, you know? And then I have my 19-year-old, so there's gaps in between. And so I have to deal with a little bit of each generation, you know, and almost explain things differently so that they could all understand, you know. And it's tough, but we're pushing.
Do the older ones help out with the younger kids?
My daughter, the older one, helps us out so much, which I'm grateful for her. It's amazing that she's in our life, and she helps with baby Zeke, and it's a blessing, man. Without her, it'd be really, really tough, because I have to work all the time. My wife has to do lashes all the time. And I'm not the guy that wants to drop off his kid anywhere, because it's just weird to me. But if
I get it.
Could come over to the house and be there at home with my son, it's everything. So, again, it's a blessing.
Yeah, no, that's really good that she's able to help you out. And I'm assuming probably free a lot too. And I'm sure you probably give her some money as well.
Yeah. You know, she helps me, I help her, and it just works out for everybody, you know. Plus I get to have her at the house, and it's nice, you know, it's nice to be able to have all my kids at the house on the weekends, or we're barbecuing or something like that. And you just really sit back and look around, and it makes you know that you're blessed, because not too many people get to do that, you know. Not too many fathers or mothers, whether they went through a divorce or whatnot. I'm blessed to be able to have all my kids in one sitting, and I have to enjoy that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm sure there's probably definitely some fighting with the 11-year-olds. I know me and my brother fought a lot.
They kick each other's ass, and I like it. It's like watching two puppies, right? They're just biting each other, wrestling and everything. They're just really having fun. But I think it's really good. I mean, you growing up, you would want somebody your age so that you could fuck with them back and forth, whichever way. I always tell them, go get in some trouble, just don't get caught. And they're like, what do you mean? Just go get into some crazy trouble. Just have fun. Enjoy it. I mean, I don't know. How old are you?
I'm 36.
Okay. So you lived our good old times, our childhood, you know, and the childhood back then versus the ones now are just you can't even understand why. I mean,
yeah, just leaving your house and no one knows where the fuck you are for hours.
Yeah, go ride your bike and go find some crazy stuff and then come back. And then you still want to be outside, right? Versus now, they just want to be inside with the phone, the game, or doing nothing. I recently took all devices from my house 2 days ago because I want them to get out. I want them to go do something. It's 100 degrees. Yeah. Go to the apartments next door and sneak into the pool. That's what we used to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, I did that many, many times.
They're like, we want to go swim. And I'm like, go to an apartment complex and sneak in there until you get kicked out. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's hilarious. That's great. I mean, I spent one summer, we would go into the woods and just start fires. We were just starting because I had like matches. I found, you know, we would just go around, start fire. We did a whole bunch of dumb shit.
I mean,
and I'm really glad I didn't have a phone, because I probably would have recorded it and I probably would have posted it online.
We had pagers, man. We had pagers, okay? Pagers at the time, man. You couldn't do much. But I mean, can you imagine though, if we would have had a video camera ready to go at all times?
I would have been
to dirty ass ponds that looked green with our bikes off of a ramp thinking that was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun, but yeah, we was doing some shit that we didn't care about and we just wanted to have fun in the summer.
Yeah. And the thing is, now it can come back to haunt them, right? So if you do, when we did stuff when we were crazy and we were younger, it wasn't on film. And now they'll get it on film and then somebody will post it and then people leave. You know what I mean? It can bite them.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, you got to look at the Hawktua girl. Look at, she was out getting out of the bar drunk and now she's famous. But how does her dad feel about this?
I thought that too. I guess she's famous for, you know, for what she's doing. So she's just got to own it. I mean,
yeah, and make it a joke and get the best out of it. Right. But I wouldn't want to be in that situation either way. But you're right about the phone. You got to be careful what you post now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I would try to impress girls and try to be funny for my friends. So I know I would have got myself in trouble big
100%.
time. 100%. So obviously you probably did some type of jobs before you really started S&P. What kind of work did you do? Did you do any
as like a teen, 18 years old and up, I did a lot of telemarketing.
Okay.
A lot of telemarketing because I've been a hustler my whole time, right? So what I would do is I'd go into a telemarketing place, get the job, and get clientele. Clientele for what, right? I would buy the fake Louis bags, Gucci bags, shoes, the Jordans, and I'd fill up my trunk. And I'd go into these places and work, and on payday, I'd tell everybody, hey, I got merchandise. And I really would hustle that out of my trunk. And that's how I would get extra money through the call centers.
From your fellow employees?
Yeah. Because I mean, payday was
great, right?
And they ain't got the full money. I say it's cool, half now, and then next check we get the rest. And that's literally one of my hustles right there. I started going into warehouses, doing the forklift, doing labor, some labor, you know. But those were fun too. As I got older, the last job that I did is in Vegas. One of my buddies had a grow up at a warehouse, basically when it became legal for cannabis, and we were just basically learning how to grow. And
wow, so you worked in a grow house for a little bit?
Yeah, it was cool, but not the coolest. Everybody probably would be like, hell yeah, but it wasn't like that. It's tough work all the way around.
Was it one of those massive, like?
It was at a big, like professional warehouse where it was nice. We did a mountain one time where it wasn't nice and where it wasn't cool. It was hot. It was dirty. It was hard. But that's where we learned to be able to, you know, to work the right way.
Okay. And so was it heavily guarded at this time?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially in Vegas, right when it became legal, then you have to watch out.
Around what year was that? Because I know it was after Colorado, after 2012, right? So what was that?
Yeah, so it was about 2016,
17. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. So you were in a grow house too. And so you went and looked for to get S&P. Is it that right? You got S&P first?
No, I was looking to get S&P.
Oh, and then you did the training. And then
as I was looking, I seen that there was training on one of the websites, right? Oh, SMP course. And I'm like, what? I did some research and I noticed that you didn't have to, for anybody that doesn't know much, they're probably like, you have to go to school and you have to go to this and that, right? But I said 3-day training course. And I'm like, damn, I could really, really learn this. So I got into contact with a couple of people. And what I did is I said, hey, I'm trying to get SMP done just on my side, but I want to do the training course. And one of the guys, again, this was John Chandler over at Scalp Co. He's like, I'll do your SMP. Come take the class and I got you. It's like, that's a wrap then.
Oh, like it was included? Like he's just going to hook you up?
Yeah, he did my hairline a little bit. You know, I wasn't completely thinning out yet, but I wanted a nice barber shop edge up. And he did what he did on one session and just to teach us as well. And then again, I did his training course and then came back home and right away jumped on it. And that's where it started.
Okay. So you originally trained with John Chandler. How was that? He's really good. He's one of the OGs in the industry.
So for me, I think that what he taught me was perfect because what he taught me was the natural, the light, nothing aggressive, you know, which at the time for me was like, well, I want to learn more of the aggressive, of the hard edge ups and stuff, right? But that was a good kickoff for me where it started. From there, I met Chris Herrera, and he became fam to me, and he showed me a lot of love, and he actually did my head. So I had dreads at the time. He did my sides right here. And then he did my hairline. But when I cut it all off with after the dreads, it was like really patchy. And he just did my whole head.
Oh, wow. I saw a picture on your Instagram. It looks really good, by the way. I saw a picture on your Instagram and I saw somebody with long hair, which I thought were dreads, but I wasn't sure if that was you. So that was actually you?
That was me, yeah.
In the picture. I was like, oh, I thought it was maybe a student.
No, yeah, that was me. I had long hair since I was like 16, 17 years old. And I mean, I had braids and dreads the whole time. So it's pull in, pushing back my hairline. My hairline used to be on top of my eyebrows when I was a kid. So, you know, that's why I tell my kids, don't ever get braids because it's going to hurt you. I promise. It looks cool, but it'll hurt you.
Do you think having the braids and the dreads because of the heavy pulling contributed to your hair loss?
100%.
And when you shaved them off, did you shave them off alone? Like, and then be like, oh shit, I got a lot more patches.
Well, what happened is I look in the mirror and obviously I could see the receding. I could see that the dread is becoming thin at the root because it's just so long and my hair wasn't thick to start with. And sometimes I'd just look in the mirror and I'd be like, it's time. You know, it took me about a year to just finally do it. And the way I looked at it is, once I cut it off, I do SMP on myself. This is going to be a selling point for my clients to be able to look at me and see what it looks like healed a year, two, 3 years later, right? So that's the way I looked at it. On top of that, I said, if I cut them now, I could still save myself by having a little bit of hair on top versus not having no hair at all, you know? So I could look cool for another year.
Yeah.
Or I could cut them now and just have enough. Like, I mean, I have enough still to where a lot of people don't even know I have SMP, especially my potential clients, right? I show them and they're like, no way. I'm like, yeah, man, get up close and personal and check it out. So nice. That's a selling point. You know, I think that anybody that does SMP and is bald and doesn't have it done on them should do it because it's a selling point. And then what does that say? You don't believe in SMP? Is that why you don't do it? But you're trying to do SMP? It doesn't make sense to me, right?
You got to own your product.
100%.
You got to own your product. Especially if you're bald. I mean, I get it if you got hair, because there's plenty of guys who have hair and the females that do it who don't have it. But if you're a bald guy and you're doing SMP and you don't own the product, it's a little questionable, right? How are you gonna sell the product if you don't believe in the product?
Exactly. Because your client, the potential client is gonna be like, why the hell do you not have it done? I need to know this, right? That's the way I would look at it.
Yeah. No, I agree. So I also saw that you're going to be doing before we get into that, I'll bring it up. So when you went to Chris, did he just do one session or?
So with Chris, I had to have been about 3 months into my SMP career. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to him and I said, hey, I love your hard edge ups. This is the shit. He's like, come down and I got you, right? I was like, bet. We pulled up, me and my buddy that started with me. And I said, can you do my sides? Because I started receding on my side. It was weird. Rather than being on top, I had these circles on my sides. And he filled them in and did the barbershop look on the sides. And he did one session. He's damn good at what he does. Of course, if you want the aggressive way, then you go to him, right? And he did what he did, and he kept me right. After that, I've gone to see him many times to where he teaches me different things all the time. So yeah, he did my whole head 2 years later after I cut my hair. And I'm gonna tell you what, second session, halfway through, I tapped out. I tapped out.
What happened?
That shit hurts.
Yeah.
That shit hurts. When my clients sit here and tell me that this feels like a massage or that they could go to sleep on it, I'm like, well, goddamn. Well, something's up with this guy, right? They say this is therapy. To me, that shit was painful. I tapped out and he was like, no, hold on. I have the videos. One of my boys, Victor from Idaho, he was there with me and he was recording me. He'll send me little clips laughing at me like, you little pussy, look at this.
And it's not like you're not used to it. I mean, your arms are covered in tattoos.
Honestly, this hurt more than the tattoos for me. My head is very sensitive.
Okay.
And it's just, I don't know. It just hurt. First session, I won't lie. We took a couple of shots and I was chilling, right? Second session, I got off the plane, went onto his chair. I was jet lagged and I was tired and that shit hurt.
Oh, I know how it feels. I've had about 12 sessions in my lifetime.
You know, 12 sessions.
I've had it since 2016. Yeah. Yeah. 12, wow. 12 sessions.
I mean, it looks good. Who did yours?
Dan Uhrenberg first, which was the guy who kind of Chris met Dan.
And he was down the street from him.
Yep. And Dan died, RIP Dan, which is terrible. And then later I went to John Giroux.
With Jonathan?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, cool. That's cool.
And I just got mine touched up about May 7th. Yeah, so it's been...
When you guys did the podcast with him and Matt?
Yeah, of course. Since I'm up there, I gotta get
it. Legendary, huh?
You know?
That was good. That was good.
But yeah, I know how it feels. It definitely gets uncomfortable. It's... But to me, it's worth the pain. Anybody listening, it's worth the pain. It's
100%. Sometimes when my clients, I'll know right away if they're going to sit or not. But I'll get the hairline done in half of it, and I know they're hurting, right? And then I have to say, hey, check this out. I want you to look at it. That way, you know that this is going to be worth it. They'll look at it and they're like, oh my god, go. It's cool. Don't worry. Just go.
Yeah.
You keep them calm.
Do you start off on the back of the head or do you do the hairline first?
Depends how I'm feeling. Just depends how I'm feeling. Honestly, I don't have a set routine no more because I hate being the same on everything because it gets old, right? So I try to break routine on everything that I can just so that I don't get bored and so that it feels like it's something new every time. That's just how I work and that's how I am. So if I feel like I'm going to do the back, I'll do a little bit on the back and then I'll take it to the front once I get warmed up. But if their skin is like nice and perfect and I don't need to test it, then I'll just run the whole front right away.
Smart. Yeah, I change it up too. A majority I start on the back just, you know, to get my hand warmed up and then do the hairline, then do the top. But occasionally I will do the front. Like you said, obviously we've both seen skin that is nice and perfect and you're like, fuck yeah. And then you got some, you know.
Some shit that you're like, oh, so there's that bad skin. And well, I won't call it bad skin, but just that tougher skin that where you know you can't go the extra mile on them today because it's going to take too long. So you stick to the standard, right? Yeah. So one thing I learned from Tony Abogado is break the rules when the rules can be broken, right? And I do that a lot here. If I could break the rules and go a little heavier, a little more dense, and it's cool with the skin and the client sitting, then I'll do that. But I'll know within 5 minutes of what I'm going to do through the whole procedure. Because if they're already squeezing them butt cheeks and you could just see their feet going like this, you're like, ah, shit, it's going to be bad, you know? So you got to get through it as fast as possible. And you can't go that extra dense on the first session.
Yeah. You might as well just do even spacing and then, you know, come back, maybe add a little bit more in the front after, because you'd hate to send them home with a big patch here and
100%
all crazy. So you get into SMP. Where do you start out doing it? Do you have like, are you doing it out of your house? Where did you do it?
Yeah. So my first session I did in my basement, and it was to one of my best friends. I still see him today. I hate his SMP. He loves it. I'm like, let me fix it. Go get some laser. And he's like, no, I'm cool. But I think we all have that, right? So I did it in my basement. Once I did two sessions on him. Once I did that, I was like, all right, I got to go look for a place. I went and looked for a place right away and got into a maybe like 15 by 25 studio, a little room. I sat there for about 2-3 months, and then I came back and looked for a new shop right away, because the vision for me was big. You know, I was like, I want to do this. I want to train. This is what I'm going to be doing. And I was committed, and there was nothing that was going to tell me different. You know, nothing was going to stop me.
I love that. I love that. And now, I mean, you got a really beautiful studio. We were talking earlier. I mean, I really like it. It's really clean. You got a fucking pool table, right? You're in your shop, right?
I am.
Show people the pool table.
Pool table. Look at this. Right there. Look at this.
I don't know anybody else who has a pool table in their SMP shop. I love
that. Yeah, man. I've been blessed, bro. Honestly, doing SMP has changed my life, allowing me to change many other people's lives, you know? And that to me is everything right there. The money's good, and we can't lie about it. You know, we all get in it for the money. But when you get in it and you realize that you're changing lives, that shit's just on a whole nother level.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good feeling, and it's rewarding because you're getting paid to help people.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
So when did you get into this current facility that you're in?
So I've been in this building for 5 years, and 5 and a half, because I was only about 3-4 months at my prior one. Well, my first one. And then I moved in here, and there was a room available here, and it was my old shop. Once this bigger one came out where it's more open like this, I took over it about 2.5 years ago.
Okay. Okay. And you said you did most of the renovations yourself?
Yeah. My last one was very dark, very black, everything. And you could go on my pictures and you'll see a lot of darkness, right? And the way that I looked at it is I was always having a hard time with my pictures because of the lighting and the darkness. So when I seen this, I said, I'm going to make this all white so that when you walk in here, it's like heaven, man. When my clients come in here, it's like, whoa, you know what I'm saying? and that's that. Exactly what happens when they walk in here and they're like, oh my God, before they even, they're just like, yeah, okay, sign me up, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. I even like your ceiling tiles. You know, you got custom ceiling tiles.
They're cool, but I wish my ceiling was higher. That's one thing I do wish. I had the high ceilings.
Well, I mean, it looks like it's at least 8 feet, right?
It is. It is. But, okay. You know, if I could have it like a couple more feet up higher where it feels more open and stuff, it'd be cool. But I mean, it works. It's perfect. I can't complain.
Yeah. And you said your wife works out of there too. What's she do?
Yeah. So she's an esthetician, and what she does is eyelashes. Eyelash extensions, and it's cool because I mean she gets to work with me next door and it works out.
Yes.
Yeah. She's a hustler herself, and she's in here grinding while I'm grinding, and you know, a lot of people are like, damn, you work with your wife, that has to be hard. And I'm like, well, no, because that's my best friend and I ain't got nothing to hide, so we're good, you know. It's fun.
Yeah. No, I know. My sister does lashes here. She rents a room for me. And it's a very, if you ever go in there and watch, I mean, it's very tedious. It's like, do, 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 do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like S&P, right? But in a different technique, what they're doing. I mean, I watch her and I see some of her clients and their eyes are going like up and down. And I'm like, how the hell are you getting these eyelashes on there? So it's definitely tedious for sure.
Yeah. And they got to get them filled. Like I know there's a, I don't, I
every 2 weeks,
them.
Every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Still, you know, so it's a cool job for returning customers and you keep it going. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely better than a 9-to-5, but sometimes it's more than a 9-to-5, but you get to pick your schedule how you want to. And you get more freedom.
Yeah. What kind of hours do you still work Saturday and Sunday?
I work every day if I have to, any day, all day. Typically at this point, right now it's slow season. I think it's slow season for everybody. I really never experienced the slow season as others. This month I did. So
you're not alone, H. You know.
Yeah, no, I've talked to a lot of people, you know, and a lot of people are like, "Damn, what happened? What's going on?" And we're all in the same boat right now. Even the top artists, I know they're not that busy. So what I do is if I'm working and when I'm on busy season, I work 7 days a week. You know, I won't do like 3, 4, 5 heads. I won't do it because the last client's not going to get the same quality as my first. You know, that's just what it is. And if I'm doing that many people in one day, I'm rushing through them. And I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to give quality S&P. I'm trying to give the best results. I'm trying to see them 2, 3, 4, 5 years later and make sure that their head still looks good. So I'll work Sundays. If I'm working Sundays, it's going to be one client in the morning and that's it. Saturdays, I could do 2, but it has to be in the morning because I want to go back home to my family. I want to go enjoy my time. But throughout the week, I'm in here. I'm in here doing 2 heads. And if it's a 3rd head, it has to be a light touch up, nothing crazy.
Yeah. No, same. I only do 2 heads in a day. I've done 3 multiple times. I hate it. I won't do it. But 2 is like, it's honestly kind of pushing me. I prefer kind of 1 if I'm being completely honest.
If I could come in here at 9 and come by 11:30, 12, hey, that's good, right? Through pandemic is what put me on the map for me, right? Financially, and I got stable.
Oh, it's great. 2020 and 2021 was, I think everybody made their most money that year.
Bro, I stopped going to the gym. I started eating like shit because I was in here from the morning until dark time. But it put me where I'm at, you know? It gave me so many skills of learning the different type of skin tones that I got to work with. I'm in Utah, so I work with the whitest of the whitest. I had to create a lot of techniques, a lot of different inks that would work for the people here. And I feel like that's what got me really good on just being creative and keeping it natural. So shout out to pandemic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was definitely some positives that came out of there. I think we're paying for it now because of the inflation, which it caused, but I definitely made a good amount of money. 2020, yeah,
for sure.
2021.
For sure.
I missed it. But yeah, I know what you mean in regards to if you try to cram everybody in, you're not going to perform your best at the very end. In fact, when I have someone, like people will say, well, are you open on the weekend? I say no. I used to work Saturday and Sunday. Then it went to just Sunday. And then I'm like, I'm not working Sunday. But now I will do it. But I always say, I'll do it Sunday. I was like, just request the day off from work. Like use a vacation day. I don't care. Or you could pay $300 extra and I'll do it on Saturday. Sometimes they're like, okay, I'll pay $300 extra. Most of the time they're like, fine, fuck it. I'll use a vacation day and come in.
The problem I see with like a Saturday or a Sunday, right, is that you have to see them for the next 3 to 4 Saturdays or Sundays. So you're not just taking that Sunday or Saturday or Sunday off. It's like for the next month. You know what I'm saying? So that's the shitty part. Obviously, when it's a new paying client, you're going to be like, fuck, I got to do it. You know what I'm saying? And then talk them into maybe Friday after work or something like that. But some people don't have options, especially if they're like construction workers and you want them to take that 2-day rest before they put back a helmet back on. Then you almost have to do it on those days. You know what I'm saying?
That's very true. That's because very true.
Make them take days off the work and they lose money. And I mean, it just
becomes. And then they can't pay for it.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's your experience with financing? Do you use the Cherry?
I do. I think it's cool. I think it's a good option. I think it's crazy how much they charge us sometimes, but you know, I guess it's better than not doing the client because they don't have the money for it. I offer it every single time and say, hey, look, this could be only a $250 payment. Most people get approved. And they're like, all right, cool. But most of my clients, I mean, they're a little bit higher end clients, so they're like, nah, I'll pay it off, you know.
Yeah, nah.
But I like Cherry. I do. I can't complain.
Okay. Have you ever? I've been telling people. Have you ever used PayPal Credit? You should offer that too. The only reason I say that is because they still take a chunk, but the person gets 6 months interest free financing.
How good are they with giving it to almost anybody?
Nah, you got to have a decent credit score. You got to have a decent
That's what's cool. I mean, Cherry is a hit and miss too, because the people will be like, I got 800 credit score. Why didn't they approve me? I'm like, I don't know.
Because you're lying.
Hey, probably. Or because they owe too much already, right?
Yeah, debt to income ratio.
Yeah. So, I mean, right now with a lot of people, I feel like a lot of people are struggling out there right now, right? Financially.
And 100%.
And it's hard. It's hard. It's hard. You see people, other artists talking about, don't bring your prices down, right? Oh, keep them at 5,000, 4,000. That's cool and all, but I'm the type of dude that if I see somebody coming in here rushing from work, and I know they're coming from work, they want this, they need this, but they can't come up with $4,000 or $5,000. I'm going to work with them just because I know that they're going to be thankful. I know that I'm still going to make money. And if I could do it, why not?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. Yeah. I mean, I've had to compromise my prices, not happy about it all the time, you know, but you got to do what you got to do to survive, right? You got to, it's a volume. So the more you do at a cheaper rate, you know, at least you're able to make the money to pay your bills.
Yeah. I mean, I've always looked at life that way, volume. And I get both sides, the volume or your time, right? But to me, it doesn't make sense to sit around and wait for that high number than to just work.
Yeah, turning people down.
And be in here active and still make money, you know?
Yep.
That's the way I look at it. So anybody that's out there charging a little less than what the big dogs are, it's not a problem. Just don't be charging $1,000 a procedure. Because then that's the ridiculous shit right there.
Oh, I've had that happen to me like 2 weeks ago. Somebody was like, well, this guy said he'll do it for $1,000. I was like, well, I ain't going to do it for $1,000.
Definitely not.
I couldn't budge on that one. He was a Norwood Six. I was like, fuck no.
Hell no.
Because I do 3 sessions minimum for pretty much everyone. And I'd say probably 40% of the people I do 4 sessions, especially if they're a light-skinned white guy, you know, red hair, freckles, real pale, because I have to. I got to be really careful with those guys. So I just can't rush through it.
That one and done shit, I just don't do. 2 is pushing it. I could do 2 on somebody that's on the darker end. And if it's somebody traveling across the country, then I'm going to put in that work, right? But that's about it. There's no way that you should be doing procedures 1 or 2 sessions. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I agree, but there are people doing it. Shout out to, and he knows it. Sculptist is a fucking beast, and I don't know how the fuck he's doing it. And I've talked to him about it.
Eventually,
the Sculptist in London.
Oh, he's actually sick.
He's sick? What do you mean he's sick?
No, he does good work.
Oh, you mean he's good? He's good.
He does good work. I know exactly what you're talking about. I didn't know he does them in what, 1 or 2, you said?
Those are like 1 sessions. Yeah, really? Those are like 1 or 2. So he has a, I'm not going to reveal too much, but he has a little system going on, but man, it's fucking incredible.
So you know what? Why I'm not crazy against 2 sessions? It's because my boy Victor at Idaho, he actually pulls a cool little technique. It's time consuming, but he has a little system as well. And I'm sure you're going to have him on sooner than later. And
I talked to Victor earlier this week.
Yeah. So he's honestly probably one of my fastest growing students ever. Right. And big shout out to him because he heard me out. He listened to me. He didn't complain and he put everything into play and that boy going. So I'm super proud of him. And that's my brother right there.
Yeah. I haven't had him. We were just talking on the phone and I'm going to have him on the podcast, but yeah, he had a lot of admiration for you. He's really great.
Yeah, that boy, I'm so happy for him. And it's just, he has a whole podcast with you, bro. That's going to be very interesting. So yeah, shout out to him.
Yeah. And so you're saying he's one of your fastest growing students. And yes. And speaking of training, I see you and Jonah Zell got a training coming up, right?
Correct.
So let people know, when is it? Where is it?
So with it being so slow right now, we're perhaps debating on pushing the dates a month or two back just because, I mean, again, everybody's struggling. It's no lie. So it's set to be in August, but we may push it a month or two back. But yeah, now it's going to be at the beginning of August. Me and her are going to be collabing in Las Vegas, and it should be fun. She came down here and learned a lot. And we clicked, we connected, and I felt like the vibe was cool. So when you could connect with someone and be on the same page, I mean, it's a no-brainer, you know, why do something, collab, 2-time certified if you take that training course. In Las Vegas, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, and people listening who are considering maybe taking the training, I mean, you get cheap hotel in Vegas too, so and you can have fun, you know. Say that again.
I say, just don't go to Circus for the cheap hotel.
Did you go to, were you at the MGM Grand a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. I was there too, but I didn't really talk to too many people.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You were hiding, huh? You were just chilling, watching.
I was talking. I was moving around. I was locked in. I mean, I talked to Chris. I talked to a few people.
Okay.
I was pretty locked in. Did you have braids at that point or no?
No, I already had cut my hair.
Oh, you cut your hair.
Okay. Chris barely did it that year.
Okay.
What happened is, and I honestly, I hate this one because I went out there for business to really learn this thing, right, and connect and network. And first night, Victor talked me into drinking, and I was done after that night. I get sick after drinking, and I just wasn't the same the next 2 days, so I kind of missed out on a lot of it. But it is what it is, you know. But that's why I wasn't really present after the first day.
Okay. Hey, I got a little tipsy too. I definitely got a little crazy. I think I left on the third. I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to the pool on one of the days after, because I did all the trainings and I met the people that I was on a mission. Like you were saying, I was on a mission. I did what I wanted to do. Everything else from there was just additional, you know, benefits for me.
Yeah. I thought the first day was good. It was interesting. I wish they would have another one, you know, right there in Vegas and do it all.
They're going to have another one. I haven't posted the clip yet, but Matt, I brought it up to Matt Aiello on the podcast, and he said he's definitely probably going to have another one. He just doesn't know the dates or the location, but he said he's going to have a scalp show too. I don't know if, did you go to the one with Jeff too?
I didn't, because I think that was like around the same time, right?
I mean, the first one. Yeah, I know. It was like,
yeah, I didn't get to go to the Mexico one or the Phoenix one, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Didn't go to the Phoenix one.
But I mean, his are pretty dope too. I talked to Picasso, cool dude too. You know, I trained with him a little bit too. Yeah. So it's been cool. I'm excited for anything. I think that right now where the industry sits and where there's so many artists right now, I think a show would be really great. I think it would be crazy. It would be crazy.
And the fact that there hasn't been one in 2 years, because when Jeff kind of started it, you know, in the U.S., to my knowledge, I mean, the SMP Expo in the Phoenix, which was September 2021. Right. And then the next one was like only 9 months later, May 2022. It was like, yeah, his one in Mexico. And then the following week or like a couple of days later was the one Matt started, Scalp Show. So it was like we went from having nothing to now we have three in 9 months. And now we have nothing for 2 years.
I like I said, I think that whoever puts out the next one, it's gonna be a crazy turnout because so many people are literally fiending to go to a scalp show. So
yeah, they need to put it out sooner. You know, they definitely should announce sooner than later, because just in case somebody else try, you know, so they're not conflicting. Definitely keep them far apart so people can go.
Hey, just make it in Vegas and we're there.
I don't know if it's going to be in Vegas, and I'll tell you.
You know some. I don't know that. Okay.
I'll tell you some insights after offline.
No doubt.
But so I'm really happy for you. I love to see a success story. Someone who dropped out of high school to you know work in a bunch of jobs, and now you got a successful career. You have your own shop. You know, you're a dad. I love to see people killing it. You're training people. So congrats. And you're really showing what hard work can do and consistency. I love that.
Thank you. No, that's all it's really taken is consistency. It's hard to stay consistent at something in general, because sometimes it takes longer than other things and you give up. And I think that with S&P, that's what happens to a lot of people that come into the industry, right? They're thinking it's success overnight. And sometimes it's not. Some of us get lucky and we have it better than others, but sometimes you just have to keep going and keep pushing and keep failing and failing until you get that right. And one day it will just blow up. You know,
just keep hold out, people. All the artists who kind of started the last year or two, hey, keep pushing. This is a tough time, but hopefully the economy picks up. You know, this is an election year. I don't know if we're going to World War III or what the fuck's about to happen after last night's debate, but I'm hoping whoever wins can somehow stimulate the economy, because that's really what we need. That is really what we need for everybody, not just SMP industry, for all, you know, the everybody in the U.S.
Everybody's struggling a little bit. And again, I think it has to do with obviously the economy. And right now, everybody was wanting some sun, some heat, right? The heat came in hard the last couple of weeks, and everybody wants to be out at the lake, the ocean, having a good time with their family. Nobody wants to sit and take care of the S&P after that session. So I think that that's all it's going to take is about a month or so. They're going to get over the heat, and now they're going to go back into routine again, and we'll be busy again.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny you say that, because I had a guy who was in here yesterday, but a couple days prior, he was like, hey, I'm actually going to go on vacation, even though I already had him scheduled. He was like, can I move it to like a week and a half? I was like, no. I was like, you got it. I was like, dude, just we'll do your session. Just make sure you wear SPF or whatever.
Yeah.
And you just take it, you know, take it lightly. But yeah, so what brands are you using?
So right now I've been sticking with Blends. I'm a part of the team there. So with Blends and Arrows is what I use. Juan, he sent me some of his bomb, the glide stuff that he uses. I use that. Those are my main three things that I use on a daily, right? But I want to tell anybody out there that it doesn't matter the product, because what matters is how you utilize it. A product's not going to make you better. You know, what's going to make you better is if you could take that and run with it and make the best S&P that you can. I've tried every ink out there, you know, but what I feel comfortable with is Blends, because I see what my results are like. And it may not be the ink. It just might be how I use it and how I get the results that I want.
Yeah, so, and the Blends needles, the Euros are great needles.
Yeah, all I use is 04s on everybody, and that's what works for me. When I tell that to people and they're like, you don't just use 04s, I go, I promise, this is what works for me, you know? So it doesn't matter the brand. It could be some knockoff-ass Chinese brand that you don't even know about.
Shout out to CNC. Use them CNC needles, the knockoff. So
as long as you're creating some beautiful procedures with whatever you're using, then just go for it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. He's so right, anybody listening. I mean, it really does. It's about your technique and your skill. You know, an experienced artist could use pretty much any of the needles and give you a good result, a really good result.
Yeah.
Even the various sizes. And in regards to using the O4s, a lot of people don't want to use that, in my experience. I use them too. I change all the needles. I use all the needle sizes. But in my experience, I notice a lot of people don't want to use that, because why? You're doing more hair follicle replications because you're covering less surface area, where if you use a bigger needle, it's less impressions, more surface area. So it's more work to use the O4, but in my opinion, better result.
I just want to be able to give the tiniest impressions. And in regards to that, I learned a technique with whatever size of needle to create whatever impression I want, because during pandemic, we were short on a lot of supplies, right? And at the time I was using Bishop, and I had 08 only. I didn't have anything else. With that 08, I learned to create the smallest impression to even bigger than that. So after I did that, I went to the smallest needle I could find, because I knew I could create a bigger one on top of that, you know, just by the technique.
Yep. I know exactly what you mean. They even, these masked, have you seen the masked ones, the purple needles, where they have a little guard on it and it's like you could stick it all the way in. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to go. I haven't tried that, but it's interesting. I guess they're trying to come out with ways.
The only problem that I would see with that is, you know, once you hit that surface with the tip, it splatters. Yep. It's not clean. So literally you could just bah, 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 hit everything, but then you have to wipe off to see what's there.
Yeah. Cool. And sometimes I get a little messy, not gonna lie. My hand, I got a big hand. I'm like smearing the ink when I'm doing it. When I say messy, not like my procedure, just I got a lot of excess ink sometimes.
Yeah,
just in the way that I do it.
Splatters when that's why I like sticking my needle all the way out.
I fully extend it.
And always then it's too hard on the skin, and just bring it in. And then just adjust that. Adjust as you go. Every head's different. You just have to make those adjustments within the first 5 minutes to know what you're going to be dealing with.
What kind of machine do you use?
I use the Flux.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been using a Flux for the last few years. Every time a new one drops, I just buy the new one.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it's good for me.
Okay. And then H, how can people find you? Like, what's your website and everything?
So my website is rejuvenatesmp.com. Rejuvenate is the name of my studio, of my clinic here, I guess. And on Instagram, H_the_technician. So that's the two that I use the most, Instagram and my website.
Are you on TikTok?
I am, but that shit's too much sometimes. But I'm the hair tattoo king on TikTok, and I do go live sometimes. So if they want to see how I do the work, you know, I kind of give it all away right there. So the hair tattoo king is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, so okay. I'll be on their live here and there.
So check him out, people. I looked at his work. H is a great artist, so I highly recommend him. If you're in that area, hit him up. If you're outside the area, hit him up. Check out his training with Jonah Zell. I'm sure there are updates to come.
And like I tell everybody out there, if you ever need help or you have questions, I'm always willing to help and give you what works for me, you know, at no cost, just out of love, because I want the more people that we could get on board with quality S&P, the better for the whole industry.
Agreed. Agreed.